All right, appreciate that. That was a very impromptu thing, but very good. You think they'd practiced all day for that. Very good, very good. All right, the book of Genesis, chapter 25. That's really loud. Book of Genesis, chapter 20. I said 25. I think it's 24. I should know who's preaching this. 24, okay. Genesis, chapter 24. And this morning, we were here tonight, if you looked in the bulletin and say, well, I thought you were in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, we are, and tonight we're not, because I didn't get through the sermon this morning. So we're going to go through this, and I knew that when I was going over it again yesterday and just looking through these, there's a lot to cover. And so rather than try to rush through it or keep you all till 1, you know, she's like, you do that anyway. I know, but I felt generous today. It's Memorial Day. You know, the Ards were here. We have to at least not let the outsider people think we go all the time that long all the time. Anyway, no. Anyway, so we're gonna look tonight now at Genesis chapter 24, and as best I can, give a little bit of a review without preaching the whole thing, because we have some that weren't quite. I know my folks were out in junior church, and then we got some others visiting with us tonight. So we just want to kind of up to date and kind of bring us all up to speed on what's going on here. This is the longest chapter in Genesis, which is why it's taken a little bit of time to go through. But it's the story of Abraham finding a wife for his son Isaac. And of course, Isaac is the son of promise, the son that's going to continue the promise that God has made to Abraham to make him a great nation. And Abraham has given the job to his trusted servant, who is going all the way back to his homeland to find a wife. And he's really stepping out in faith here, because he said, if she doesn't come back, if she says, if you find someone and they don't want to come back, then it's over. We're not going to ever bring Isaac to that land. And the reason is because God specifically wants a wife of Isaac to not be from the land of Canaan. It needs to be from his own family, to keep that family line pure and not to be influenced by the religions of Canaan and things like that. And so he said, by no means will you ever bring Isaac back up there. We're going to bring him a wife from there. If she doesn't come, or if you find someone of the family and she doesn't come, then it's over. And so he really is showing his faith there. And we've seen how Abraham's servant came, and he prayed and asked the Lord to give him some direction and to make it very clear, to lead him in the right way. And then he asked God for a very specific sign, and God provided that just miraculously right in front of his eyes. And his sign there was that a woman, a young girl that he would ask for a drink of water, that she would offer to water his camels as well, which is about 300 to 400 gallons of water, which right now outside, you just bring them outside, open their mouth. But back there in the desert, that's not going to work. That would be a lot of work. And it's exactly what happened. Before he was even done praying, he looks up and here's this girl. He asks her for a drink. She offers to fill up the camels and all that. And then he asks her what family she's from, and she tells him, I'm from basically Abraham's family. And so he's just worshiping God and amazed at all this. But now we get to this point where he has to talk to her family. He has to help them to recognize that God is leading. And that's the point of this little mini-series through chapter 24, is recognizing the leadership of God and seeing that. Because God will provide leadership in our life. We all have decisions that we're going to make. We want God's direction, and God will provide that direction. He doesn't expect us to just figure it out on our own. God will help us with that. And he's clearly made his will known here to Abraham's servant, but now he has to communicate that to her family so that they can recognize God's leadership. And of course, he tells the story, and we're kind of skipping through here, but let's look at verse 50 of Genesis chapter 24. He goes through this whole thing And just recounts the story of how amazing this was. And then in verse 50 it says, then Laban, now that's Rebekah's brother, and Bethuel, that's her father, so these two men there of the family, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. They said, this is God at work. And these are idol-worshipping people. They don't worship Jehovah God. That Abraham left that when he left Ur. And yet, even though they were idol-worshipping people, did not have a relationship with God, when they heard how God had led, they said, this is from God. like it or not, that's what it means. It says we can't say bad or good. I mean, whether I like it or not, it doesn't matter. God is at work right here. And so they said, verse 51, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son wife, as the Lord hath spoken." This is definitely of God. And of course, I love this. The response of Abraham's servant, again, verse 52, "When Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." He's constantly responding throughout this chapter in worship, just showing that God is working here. And it just puts him to his knees. It puts him on his face because he's realizing that God is at work here. And it's just an amazing story. And so this morning we went through that a little bit and talked about how important that is, and that God wants to reveal himself to us. God doesn't want this to be some kind of cat and mouse game where we have to figure out the code that God is trying to show us. And then to help us understand this, what we're doing through this passage is we're looking at five characteristics of God's leadership, five tests that we can put our decisions to find out if God is leading in a certain direction. We covered two of them this morning. The first one is that God is going to lead you in a way that is in line with the Bible. He will not lead you in a way that's outside of the Word of God. And we have the Word of God. In our country, in America today, we have the Word of God, which we should not take for granted. And we can take any question that we have, and this should be our first line of defense against us doing dumb things, okay? Because if it's clear in the Bible that we shouldn't be doing this, then we shouldn't be doing that. We don't even need to pray about it anymore. And we talked about that this morning. The second thing is that God's leadership is going to come to your life at a time when you are delighting in God. God will lead you in a time when you are delighting in God, when you have a good relationship with God. If you don't have a good relationship with God, and you have a desire, and you act on that desire, chances are it's going to be something that maybe you want, but not something that you need. Okay, you may think you need it, but it's not what you need. So it needs to be at a time when we are delighting in God, which means that we need, just from those two things, we need to know God's Word, in order to be able to evaluate the decisions based on God's Word. That would be a given. You don't wait for a decision and then say, okay, I'll read the Bible and see what I... Well, you can do that, but it might take you a little while. So it would be better to kind of be grounded in that to start with. And that's why coming to church and things like that is important, not just because I like preaching to people, but because we need to know the Word. We need to know the Scriptures and know what's there. So sometimes you may be doing your devotions and reading the Bible or coming to church or going to Sunday school or whatever, and there's something you think, well, I'm not going to need that. Why did I read that this morning? But next week you might, or next year you might, or sometime you might, and now the Lord can bring that back to mind and help you with that. The Scriptures are like ammo that God loads you up with, and you don't know when you need that ammo or that ammunition, you know, but when the time comes, it should be there. And that's why it's important to know God's Word and to constantly be in a state where you're delighting in God, so that when you need His will, you'll be in a place where you can use that and where you can find that. And so those are the first two things. And the third one we're going to look here is that God's will be made evident in a series of circumstances, okay? So it will be made evident in a series of circumstances. Now, this is probably the one we need to be very careful about. And they're sort of in order, because you need to make sure it's in line with God's Word. I'm delighting in God. Now, here's a circumstance, okay? If God is leading you to do something, God's fingerprints, okay, are going to be all over that thing. It's going to be God making that happen. You should be able to look at it, at a situation, and say, wow, God is at work here. That's what happened here. He told this to Laban and Bethuel, and they said, well, this is God doing this. And it was very clear that God was doing that. God will confirm this along the way. You ever been on a road and you think it's the right road, but there's hasn't been a road sign for a long time? You ever do that? I did that. When I went out to see Eunice and Donald, and they live out in, it's not just Dodson, it's out in whatever that is by Dodson, the wilderness, I think. And the roads after this rain, the roads are like a muddy slip and slide. And so I'm going one way, and I got halfway there and thought, this was not a good idea. I'm looking for signs. There's no signs. And so I'm just following the little GPS on my phone, and it worked. Hallelujah, it worked, because if it didn't, I would have been in a field somewhere. I was almost in a field anyway. But I'm just going along and doing that. And if you're ever on a road where there hasn't been a sign in a long time, you start wondering, is this right or not? And whenever we're following the Lord, He will give us confirmation along the way. Now, that does not mean that God is going to show up and say, okay, here's the long-term plan for your life. I've not had that happen. I've thought I've had that happen a few times, and it didn't work out the way that I thought it was supposed to be. God doesn't promise to show us the whole thing. It's not like like where you go on the internet, you go on to MapQuest, and you print off a MapQuest thing, where I don't even think people use it anymore because now we got it on our phones. But you got, you know, you used to print off a thing where it would say, okay, here's the directions for where you're going to go. And you drive here so many miles, and you turn, and you drive here, and it just tells you, it lays it all out so you can know exactly what to do. God's will is not given to us like that. Now, there may be times where it is, but for the most part, God does not lead that way. It's more like a GPS thing where it just tells you the next turn. Say, okay, you're going to turn here. For how long? When? What am I going to do next? What's the next turn after that? No, just go. And that's how the Lord leads many times. It's almost like the headlights on your car. Your headlights on your car will shine maybe 100 yards or so, unless you've been driving through bugs, you know, but they're supposed to, okay? And you can see about 100 yards ahead. That's plenty for driving. You can see if there's deer. You can see if there's stuff. But when I drive from here, whenever we leave here tomorrow and we drive up to Missouri, I don't turn the lights on and see all the way to Missouri. That's not how it works. It's just one step along the way, and that's how the Lord works. And through different circumstances along the way, God will do things to help direct us. And it may just be little things along the way. And when God directs in a little way, that doesn't mean that we assume the rest of the way. We just obey one step at a time, because God will make His will known through a series of circumstances that are of God. And the only story I know is my own. And so I'm going to bore you just for a minute with this. And you all have heard this a lot of times already. But as I went through this, thinking about God directing people through life, I can't help but go back here to a year or so ago to when we were deciding if the Lord was calling us to come here to Wellington to pastor. And I gave a little bit of this this morning. We're in Ohio at the time. I grew up in this area and over in Mangum, and we had thought maybe someday we'd come back here, but that was not in the plan at all. And so kind of felt like the Lord would have me to pastor someday, and that was in line with God's word. I was delighting in God, but it, that opportunity just wasn't there. I wasn't going to make it happen. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to pastor somewhere, I want you to make it happen. This, and I said this 4 or 5 years ago. I said, Lord, you've got to do it in such a way. And I prayed this specifically. I've got journal entries back there where I said, Lord, you need to do this in such a way that there is no question in anyone's mind that I'm supposed to go to that place. Not just for me, but for the poor people that you send me to. It needs to be really clear that because at first everybody loves everybody, we're all on a honeymoon, and that's great. But after that, then you say, oh, okay, that's who we got, or whatever. And so I don't want there to be anything that takes place where like I don't think that was right. I'm not going to make it happen. And so I knew, coming from Bible college, I knew there are bulletin boards filled with churches that need pastors. And like I could start sending out resumes and stuff, and the Lord may lead some to do that. But I said, Lord, I don't trust myself. You're going to have to make this happen. You're going to have to open the door. And if you had asked me at the time, well, how's the Lord going to open the door? I would have said, I haven't the foggiest idea. I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to be a youth pastor for a while and learn stuff. And there'd be times where I was frustrated. There were times where I was like, I'm just going to go do this right now or whatever. But I was like, no, the Lord's got to make this happen. And I didn't know how this was going to work, but that was the plan. And then one day out of the blue, I was talking to a friend of mine. He says, do you mind if I give a pastor your name? I was like, I had talked with him about a desire I had to pastor, but never really looked into it. And I said, that's fine. I said, I think that's what God wants me to do eventually, but I don't know exactly when or what. So whatever. Yeah, that's fine. So he gave this guy my name, and it started looking like that was what was going to happen. This was a preacher up in Iowa. I should know this. And it was my story. So anyway, it's Heather's story too, so she can help me out. So it was up in Iowa, and I thought, well, this is where we're going to go. And I knew it was of God because I didn't look for it. It was there, and this is exactly what God does. It's just like the headlights saw something just right up there. was like, okay, that's it. That's what we're supposed to do. I talked to my pastor about it, and I had already talked to him about it, and he said, I mean, about this desire that I had and about doing this someday, and he said, hey, if this is where God is leading you eventually, great, but we want to keep you as long as we possibly can. So there wasn't like he was kicking me out or anything like that, and I was glad for that. And so we're like, well, this is what's happening. God's opened a door. We're definitely going through it. And so we started making plans, and we started doing all these plans, and then all of a sudden the door just closed up. To this day, I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I don't know what happened on his end. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. And so it was like, oh, Lord, what are you doing here? And then it just sent us on a little tailspin and a time of really questioning and saying, God, what are you doing? And I mean, it was absolutely clear that the hand of God was on opening that door and that the hand of God was on closing that door. And we sat back thinking, that doesn't make sense. Why would God send us on this weird rabbit trail to come right back to where we started and then say, well, wasn't that fun? Because no, it wasn't. It really wasn't, because we're sitting there thinking about all this stuff and it doesn't work. And here's what we need to remember in that. Is that when we're looking for God's direction in our life, He will give us direction. I mean, when you're looking for it and you're delighting in God and it's just the right time, God's providential direction, that word providence means it's timely care in your life at just the right time. We see that all through this chapter. How many times was He still just speaking and then she shows up? And Him being in the way, the Lord led Him. And so just at the right time, the Lord will show Himself. But that doesn't mean that that's it. It means that we need to keep following one step at a time. And that's what we did. We said, okay, well, one step at a time, we'll just keep doing this and we'll keep going along the way and just see what the Lord does. God's will be made known in a series of circumstances along the way. And that story continues, and we'll pick up that a little bit here in a minute. But I want to give you number four. So number one, God's will line up with the Bible. Okay, it will not go against His revealed word. God's will come to you. God's direction will come to you at a time when you're delighting in God. And it will be made known through a series of circumstances. That's how the Lord works. Then number four, God's leadership will be evident to those who care about you and who know the direction your life is going. So counselors, it will be made evident through other counselors in your life, through godly people in your life. And this is very important. You, as you're looking for God's direction, you cannot cherry pick your counselors, okay? Because every one of us know people that if we were thinking of something in our life, we say, I'm thinking about this, we know people we could go to and say, hey, I'm thinking about this, what do you think? And they would say, well, that sounds good to me. Good, I got godly counsel, let's do it, it's God's will. Well, hang on. We all know people we can go talk to, and they would give us the thumbs up no matter what we were talking about. And so we need to make sure that we are seeking God and that we are willing to bring that question before some godly counselors. There's two types of people. We need to look for people that are in a spiritual position. People who have a walk with God themselves, who know God, who delight in God, and who are honest enough that if you go to them, they would tell you if you're off. Now, that's humbling. It's very humbling. But we must do that. And there's been times in my life where I have made some choices that were not in God's will, and I got some counsel from people that I really wasn't listening to. I was just kind of going along with it just to do it. But then I've learned from those mistakes, because I've wound up in places I shouldn't because of that and made some mistakes because of that. And I remember after making some mistakes, I remember thinking, okay, next time I'm going down this road, I'm going to find some people, and I'm going to listen, maybe to some of the same people, and I'm going to listen to what they have to say, and I want to say, listen, I want you to tell me if I'm off. I want you to tell me if this is just a bonehead idea that I've come up with, or if this is God leading. I need you to shoot straight with me and tell me that. We need people that are in a spiritual position, and also people that are in a God-given position. Maybe a family member, a parent, a spouse, someone who maybe isn't even super spiritual, but they know you. Okay, those are the people that also sometimes we don't want to go talk to, because they know you enough that if you say, I'm thinking about this, they'll say,
you've done this before, like 16 times, because this is how you are. You just come up with stuff, you know, and we need to listen to that, and we need to talk to those who know our weaknesses, who know our shortcomings. And Laban here is one of those people. He's not a spiritual person by any means, okay? He's not at all. He's a trickster. He's all over the place, and we'll get to him later. But even Laban, when he hears this, I mean, he's just a brother, but he listens to this, and he says, wow, God is doing this. God is at work here. And so it's made evident even to counselors. And so getting back to my story here a little bit, as we were there in Ohio, the Lord had opened a door, closed a door, and we were just trying to figure out what's going on here. And I talked to my pastor up there about it. I said, what's going on? Is this just me? And he said, I think God is getting ready to move you. I was like, are you getting ready to fire me? He's like, no, that's not what it is. He's like, I think God is getting ready to move you, because he said, you are giddy. You're ever since this has come up, that he says your desire to pastor is just like bleeding out here, and I think the Lord is shaking you up for something. And that was his perspective. I felt that way, but I feel all kinds of ways. And so he's like, I think this is what God's doing. And so he continued to pray with me through that. And then out of the blue, the Lord opened up two more opportunities. There was a man that called me from my phone. It said Wellington, Texas. And I was like, I've heard of this place, you know, and my parents had come to Wellington, Texas to come to a church there called Calvary Baptist. It's a good place. You guys should check that out. And the pastor there gave me a call, Brother Tom, who's here tonight, and he said, would you consider coming here to be our pastor? I was like, whoa, well, I'll pray about it for sure, you know. And so I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. And then I talked to a friend of mine, a counselor here, a professor that there at the school. I called him up, and he said, I told him about it. I said, what do you think? He said, hey, if it's of God, that could work. He said, I pastored in a small town. It was great. I learned a lot. That's exactly what God could be doing. He said, are you sure about it? I said, no. I mean, I'm praying about it. He said, can I give you another one to think about? I was like, okay. And so he said, there's another church in Tennessee. They're looking for a staff member, possibly to be a pastor eventually. And so, you know, can I give him your name? I was like, sure. I'm not committed. I mean, I'm not, you know, totally committed yet. We're just praying about it right now. And so he said, all right. Well, so all of a sudden we had two. I didn't want two. I wanted one, but we had two. And I was like, okay, so we're going to have to check this out. And so as we went and visited the church in Tennessee first, before we came here, it was just kind of on the way, and so we visited them. A wonderful church, a great pastor, a big work that they have going there. They have a camp and a Christian school and a lot of things that they're doing, and just a tremendous opportunity, really, to be involved in something of that size, and just a lot of different things I had not been involved with to learn along the way. And I told my wife, it's going to be like going through college again, because a lot of new things that I have not been involved with, and just really seemed like a good fit and everything, and we decided, like, this is it. This is what we're supposed to do. And so on our way back here, my only thought was, how am I going to let these folks in Wellington down? You know, how am I going to tell them that we're not coming? I mean, we're going to go to preach, but this isn't what God's doing, because it's clear that God's leading here. And so I did this. I called some counselors. And I called a couple of men that I respect, that and they both I wanted them to tell me God's will, but they both didn't tell me God's will. They just said you just need to know. Like, well, thanks. That doesn't help me. But they said you need to know that God is leading you. And I told them a few things. We had some discussions about this and just talked about several things along the way, and they just told me to just continue to bring it before the Lord, and that the Lord would make it very, very clear. And instead of just rushing ahead of it, it kind of put some things in my head to start thinking about this. It was very important to talk to some other people and to get that idea to start working through that. And that leads us here into the last one, number five. And so first of all, of course, it's going to line up with Scripture. It's going to be at a time when we're delighting in God. There'll be a series of circumstances that God uses, and it'll be confirmed through godly counsel. And then number five, God's leadership will stretch your faith. God's leadership will stretch your faith. If God is leading, He's going to lead you in a way where you must trust Him. And that doesn't always come naturally to us as human people, okay? Because we like to have our hands on everything. And it's gonna cause us to go to a place sometimes where there's a little bit of unsurety at times. But that's how God leads. Here's this girl, Rebecca, growing up in her father Bethuel's household. And here this man comes and has this amazing story. I mean, it's an amazing story. And it's clear that God is at work. And then it comes down to it towards the end of the chapter here. In verse 57, we read this morning, but just to kind of get the context here, verse 57, the servant's trying to leave. He's trying to get on the road. And they called Rebecca in verse 57. I'm sorry. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth," because here's what's going on. In their culture, this was not that uncommon for a girl to be taken far away to marry someone else, especially a wealthy person, okay? And so that could be common. But typically, when that's done, they will kind of have a time of celebration, saying goodbye, and a lot of that, from what I've read, is a time for the family to kind of check out this family, because again, you're sending your daughter far away. And in this day, I mean, you know, FaceTime didn't work. Internet was really slow back then, okay? And so you're not going to be able to get on there and just see them. In fact, when Rebecca leaves, she doesn't see her family ever again. I mean, she leaves, and as far as we know, she does not come back. And so here's this huge thing. And so they would take some time to kind of vet the groom, make sure that everything was okay, make sure everything was above board. Because here's this guy you've never seen showing up. I think I mentioned this morning and say, "Hi, you don't know me, but would you like to come and marry my rich prince thousands of miles away?" I mean, it really sounds like an internet scam, I think is what we said this morning. And then the songs play, and then all kinds of stuff. No. And so this is a crazy question. Now, they do know the family. Supposedly, they say, I mean, he's from Abraham, but Abraham was the crazy brother that left and went to following the voices in his head to a place that God would show him, right? I mean, that's what happened. And so now it's like, you want to go marry your crazy cousin over here? Is that something you want to do? It would stretch her faith. And we're going to look next week or whenever we're back at Rebecca following this. It was a huge thing. But her stretching her faith, that's exactly what this was. And if the hand of God is in it, as God leads you, if the hand of God is in it, then buckle up, because it's going to be an exciting ride. And God is in it, then He will lead you, and He will continue leading you along the way. So here we were, getting back to our story here. We'll close that up. We are on our way to Wellington to visit, to figure out what in the world's going on. I was pretty sure God had brought me to a place where I was pretty sure that I haven't seen God's plan for me just yet. I'm not sure. I talked with Brother Tom and Miss Vera there over at the house. I did my best to tell him we are not coming to this church. I don't even know if you remember that or not, but I would say that, not quite that rude, but it was really close. And I was like, I really think God is leading us somewhere else, you know, not here, but we'll pray about it whenever. And every time I'd say that, he'd say, "Well, we're excited for you to move down here." I was like, don't think you're listening to what I'm saying, but whatever. But that's fine, and that's just kind of how it worked. And so anyway, so we're thinking about this, but God brought me to a point where I was totally unsure of what we're supposed to do. And as we drove over here that Sunday morning to preach here, I really didn't know at all. And I'm thinking, Lord, you've got to show us what you're doing. And as we came here and we met you all, and as I heard testimony after testimony of how folks have been praying for a younger pastor to come in here, and I'm thinking I'm just trying to look at it from God's perspective and think, and a thought started up in my mind. I thought, if God calls us to be here, this is the most amazing set of circumstances of anything that's happened to me personally in my life of how God has worked through this. But I don't know if that's how this is or not. And as we were here Sunday morning, just visiting folks and praying about things, and there were lots of things that lots of areas that I did not have figured out yet. It didn't make a whole lot of sense logically in a lot of ways for us to move here. I'm not saying anything against here. I'm just saying it, that there were a lot of roadblocks in my mind that I didn't understand the long-term plan. I wondered about this list of 30-something preachers that the church has had over the years, and I wondered how many of them are buried in the basement and what happened to them. And, you know, there's all kinds of questions that I didn't know. No, and so there's a lot of things that I'm just not sure about. But I had to think about that. I had to think of those things and bringing my family here and all of that. And as we followed the Lord, as we came here, I remember that Sunday night, we had a service in here and we had a fellowship back there because we eat. And that's what Baptists do, so we understand that. And I remember just shaking my head and thinking, this is crazy. And I told my wife, I think she was getting dessert or something, and I said, I think this is it. And this is crazy. I don't remember exactly the word. I was like, this is nuts. Like, we are nuts. And not that I didn't want to do that, but it's like, this is so clearly the hand of God here that I cannot sit back and say, I mean, there's just no question. And I'm sitting there reeling. I mean, I really felt like Abraham's servant. I didn't fall on my face here before the Lord. Maybe I should have. But just seeing God work in so many ways along the way. And since then, since coming here, the Lord has just kind of filled in the gaps, the areas that I didn't understand. The Lord's kind of filled those in along the way. But it required a step of faith. It required a step into an area that we weren't sure how that was going to work. We weren't sure about how a lot of things were going to be possible for us to be here. And since then, the Lord has continued to lead. Do I have everything figured out? Certainly not. Absolutely not. I barely have. Well, this evening I didn't have the sermon figured out because we ended up dragging this over into tonight. But as the Lord has directed, as we have followed, He has been faithful to give providential leadership one step at a time along the way. And that's all He asks of us to do, is simply to follow those things. And so as we conclude here, when we recognize the providential leadership of God, it results, here in our text, it results in exciting submission. Now, those two words don't normally go together, exciting submission, but they do here. Because the servant submitted to God constantly. He got low. He worshiped the Lord. Rebecca, when she was asked, are you going to go with this man? She saw enough of what God was doing, not understanding the whole thing, but she recognized God's leadership, and she says here in verse 58, I will go. She follows that. And as a result, the end here is exciting. It's not just submission, it's exciting submission, because when she says, I will go, they send her off with this kind of blessing in verse 60, where they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. Be the mother of thousands of millions. Little did they know what that would actually mean, because Rebekah gets joined to Isaac, who is the son of promise that God is going to use to do some amazing things. Rebekah and Isaac will have a son named Jacob. And Jacob will have 12 sons, which will be called the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons would be Judah, who would later, through his family line, would have a boy named Boaz, who would marry Ruth, the Moabitess. They'd have a kid named Obed, who would be the father of Jesse, who would have a young boy named David. And we know David, who ultimately would be the father, great-great-great-great-grandfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ would come. God, in human flesh, would open up the way of salvation, which would make adoption into the family of God possible. And if you're here tonight and you're saved and you're part of the family of God, that family of hundreds of thousands of millions, we can go all the way back. And one of the reasons that even happened is because a young girl named Rebecca recognized the leadership of God and said, I will follow. I will go. Could she have any idea the ripple effect from her decision to follow the leadership of God? Absolutely not. There's no way she could have possibly understood that. And she didn't need to. She simply followed along the way. On November 12th, 1939, there's a man named James Tharp. You know him? He followed the leadership of God to start a church in Wellington, Texas, called Calvary Baptist Church. And for over 75 years, this church has provided direction and spiritual leadership in this community. There'd be Sunday school teachers and pastors and song leaders and people over the years that would be an influence there. And along the way, there would be a boy that would come through the church, or a young man, and his name was Eddie Trimble. And I think I mentioned this here a while back because it's just amazing to me that here this young man, years later, would come here, would be called to missions. And today, Brother Trimble and his family are over here. They're not over here, but their picture is, okay? And they're missionaries over in the Philippines. And they have a vast ministry there, being able to work with students and just all kinds of things that have taken place because of the faithfulness of a guy who came to Wellington, Texas, to start a church. And as I was talking to my folks about this, they reminded me a little bit of the rest of the story, because several years back, there was... this man, Eddie Trimble, he visited a church in Oklahoma to kind of give a report, kind of a furlough report. And in that church, there was a family that had come to a transition point and were looking to find a church to go to. And in his report, he mentioned that he grew up in a church, an independent Baptist church in Wellington, Texas. And Wellington, Texas was just down the road from where this couple lived in Mangum. And of course, you know the story, how John and Rachel Downing ended up coming to visit this church, and you know the rest of the story, because my folks came here to visit, which kind of brought a connection of a lot of these things all together. And we can trace those ripples back to a man named James Tharp in 1939, who followed the leadership of God to come to a town of Wellington, Texas, which, you know, isn't New York City or anything. It's just a town here in the Panhandle. And he came and followed what God led him to do. And the ripple effects are here even today, all because of that. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't do that with just one person or just one unique individual. That's how God works. God is at work. And when we recognize what God is doing and we recognize God's leadership, I'm getting into the next sermon, but our job is to decide if we're going to follow His leadership or not. Those who are seeking God's leadership will recognize and follow it. And so tonight, as we close this up, I've said that about six times, so it doesn't mean anything. But as I try to close it up, okay, are you looking for God's leadership in your life? Is that important to you? Are you interested enough in God's leadership to seek it? Do you know what God is wanting you to do right now? A lot of times we do, not all the time, but usually when we're looking for God's leadership, there's something right there. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in your heart, if you're a child of God, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we know that upon salvation, the Holy Spirit enters a person and God dwells with you. That's not some super mystical hocus pocus thing. It's God dwelling with you and helping you understand the Scripture, helping you understand right from wrong, and to lead you and guide you. And there's things that probably every one of us could point to and say, the Lord has His finger on that area of my life right now. When we're looking for God's leadership, a lot of times we already know exactly what we're supposed to do, but for whatever reason, sometimes we drag our feet along the way, don't we? And sometimes that's because there's an element of control that we want to have in our life, it's that faith thing where we don't want to let it go. We're just like right here, and we're like, if I follow God in this area, what's He going to ask for next? Something awful. No, God's not awful. God is a good God, and He is involved in a great work. And it is amazing to me that He would invite us up to join Him in the work that He is doing. But what an amazing thing to do. If you recognize God's leadership in your life, then our job to do is to respond to that. To respond immediately to what God is leading us to do. But before your desires, before someone else's desires, you're not going to be able to please God and please all people all the time. It's not going to happen. We have to, our priority is to follow the leadership of God. I love what Jim Elliot said. He was a missionary back in the 50s. I love the life of Jim Elliot. I named my son after him, so there's just, I don't know what else I can do. Okay, so Jim Elliot said this. He said, "Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you know to be the will of God." If God has led you somewhere, He says, don't just kind of poke at it. He says, live it to the hilt. I mean, I don't know if that's too graphic or not, but just, you know, go all the way. Be all there. And if you know God to be leading you in something, then do it. God may be leading you to be more involved in His ministry. You said, well, God hasn't called every person to be a pastor. Well, I'm glad. That would be awkward if every person was called to be a pastor. But we know that. That's not how the church works. We don't have one man doing 100% of the work. That's not how it works. And thankfully, our church is not like what I hear is typical, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work or whatever. No, we need 100% doing 100%, which means that there's work for everybody to do. As God is at work, He's going to lead people to be involved in certain areas, and maybe a smaller area than another one, but it's important. And as God equips and calls people, and as we recognize His leadership to be involved in a local church and to be involved in the teaching of young people or in the spreading of the gospel or even in the cleaning of the building, I mean, whatever it is that God is calling people to, then we need to recognize that and follow it. God does amazing things through people who are willing to be involved in that, who have submitted to His leadership. God did that in the life of Rebecca, and God continues to do that in our lives today. So I just want to encourage you with those things tonight, because every one of us are going to be at a point in our life where we're going to be looking for God's leadership. And when God does, we should be able to submit that to some honest examination, some honest test. Is it biblical? Is it not? Is it contrary to the Bible? Is it right? Am I at a place where I'm delighting in God? Am I at a place where God could lead me? Am I willing to be open and honest with some godly counsel that could tell me if I'm off, and will I listen to that and submit myself to that? Have I looked at circumstances that God has made very clear? I'm not talking about, like we mentioned this morning, a bird flew that way. Okay, I'll go that way. No, or I saw their face in the oatmeal. No, that's crazy stuff. We're talking about God giving you very clear direction through circumstances, and then probably the hardest one, will it stretch your faith? And God may have some of you, I don't know, God may have some of you at a faith-stretching point right now, where you say, I know what God wants me to do, but man, that is outside of my element. That is not who I am. Well, it may be that God is changing who you are. And that's called sanctification. The Lord does that. He grows us up spiritually. I'm glad He does. I'm glad I'm not the same person I was when I was saved. I'm glad the Lord has matured me along the way. And you guys can be very thankful that He's not done yet, because I still got a ways to go. All right. But is the Lord working on you? Because those who are seeking God's leadership will recognize it, and they will follow it. And it helps us to discover the greatness, as we've seen here, the greatness of God's providential, perfectly timed leadership in our lives. All right, let's stand tonight. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. And if the Lord has spoken to you through this, if you just need to spend some time in prayer with the Lord, this is our opportunity to do that. And we're going to have a song of invitation and just give you opportunity to respond to God if He has spoken to you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for Your timely care, Lord, in my life. And Lord, I love telling the story of how You have led. And Lord, I know tonight we could go around the room tonight and hear story after story of how You have shown Yourself strong in the lives of Your people time and time and time again. And Lord, we want to praise You and worship You for that. Thank You for guiding us in a way, for not leaving us here on our own to just figure it out, but for guiding us along the way. And Lord, I don't know where everyone is here tonight in their walk with You. There may be some that are at a point of questioning, trying to figure some things out. And maybe You've led some in here even tonight for that purpose. And I don't know why the message this morning, we stretched that out a little bit. But Lord, it may be that this is important enough for us to take into account, to prepare us for some upcoming decisions that may be coming. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to submit ourselves to You and to be willing to be led by You and to take our hands off of that and to willingly submit to Your wonderful leadership in our life. Lord, have Your will and way in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.